It is a blessing to be here with you, and I pray that we can learn something tonight. And not everything that I say tonight is going to be, it's probably going to apply to every person that's here, but maybe I will say some things that that you can think about and use, and I know that not everything I say will apply to every person that's here. Also, tonight, I'm well aware that what I will not say and what I'm not going to spend time on tonight is the other side of the coin. And I want you to know, and I want to make a disclaimer before I go very far, that there is another side to this subject that I'm about to address this evening. I am addressing the danger side because that's what I was assigned to do, and I am well aware, and we all know, that there is a side to this subject that we have tonight that has many advantages. We know that. I don't intend to address it tonight. I'm addressing the danger side of it. Now, the scope of the message tonight is so large that it's good for you. When you have a subject that's so big, you need to decide what you're not going to say instead of what you are going to say. That's a good problem to have. That's certainly the scope tonight. I'm going to be painting with a wide brush, and I'm going to be using a fair amount of illustrations or parables, which I like to do. I think it's good. That way, it's just good. But I'll try to keep them simple enough that you can read between the lines. If you think about them. Our son, we have one son, lives in the western state of Idaho. He's an arborist. And about 5 years ago, my wife and I were there, and we went there to help him. And he does all his tree work, hanging in a harness mostly. It's very dangerous work. We pray for him every morning because that's the kind of work he's doing. And I was there helping him, and he was up there in the tree, snipping and with his saws and so forth, taking out these branches and letting them drop to the ground. And he wanted me to do the easy work. He wanted me to take them over and put them in his grinder. And so I was dragging these over there. And he was up there in his tree. And what they do, they go up there and they latch over on this branch and then swing over to this one. They swing back and forth up there, and they're hanging on the rope. That rope is their security, and it's everything when they're up there. And then it comes down, hanging down the bottom of the tree for some other reasons they use it there, but that's what was going on. Here's the point. Grandpa was carrying branches over and putting them in the trimmer, and he was doing this, and all of a sudden, instead of the tree branch going in, the rope went in. Now this was about 150-foot rope, but whenever this grinder is running at high speed, it's just a few seconds, just like that. And that rope went in that grinder just like that. Now, I'll just make it shorter. I looked up in the tree, and there he was. And afterwards all, it's a longer story, I said, how did you know? He said, well, you got to know when you have a guy like you on the ground, you know, a smart arborist knows that that's a very real danger that can happen. So he said, when I saw it happen, I just snipped, I just unhooked my belt. And if it hadn't been that, well, you know, there have been a lot of other things happen. But that's a point. You can think about that. And we think about the dangers that we're talk about tonight. Maybe some of them were a little like that. But he knew about it. He knew that danger existed. He knew that that was a real thing that could happen. And maybe it never happened before, but it happened that day. And in just the right amount of time, he snipped himself loose from it. Open your Bibles with me to the second letter of Timothy. Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul writes to Timothy, young man, young preacher, And I don't know what all he had in mind in this context, but I'd like to just read a few verses here. Verse 1, "This also, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now we need to know tonight that the last days are all the days from the time that Jesus ascended back up into heaven and until he comes again. That's the last days. But now we know that was 2,000 years ago. So now we know these are at least 2,000 laster days. It's not an English word, but these are the last days. We know that we are in some more last days. That's a little bit better than the last days 100 years ago or 200 years ago or 500 years ago. "This also know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And I'm going to just stop there. There's a whole list of sins. We read them often. We know about them. We know they're happening in the last days. We know they're happening in our days. But some time ago, probably at least 5 years ago, I don't know how long ago it was, some preacher was preaching and he was talking about these sins. And for whatever reason, I wrote in a margin of my Bible, Facebook, particularly, and drew an arrow down to lovers of their own selves. Now, I'm not here to be critical of Facebook or Mark Zuckerberg or whoever he is. That's not my point tonight. And when I use the word Facebook, I'm talking about 100 others. I'm talking about the social media network, the concept, what's happening in the last days in which we live. So I'm not pointing my finger at Facebook. It's just that's the biggie that we use. We know what we mean by that. The social media network. It has become a massive animal. It's a huge thing. And it is affecting and influencing and doing things to our lives. And I'm not going to keep saying that I know there's some good to it. I'm not going to keep saying that. I just am saying that it is influencing us. That way of living, that culture, that change that has come about. And it is poisoning our spiritual life probably in some way. So I'm not submitting either that social media is sin. I might be, or it might be, is a better way to say it. But I'm not necessarily suggesting that. I'm talking about that huge, massive animal. And I'm willing to make at least one other thing tonight for us to think about and to consider, and that is that I think that we ought to be aware, if we just think back just a few years, that perhaps, and probably more than perhaps, but we'll just say perhaps to keep it simple, probably, I think I'm willing to say, this whole thing has become a greater giant and is a bigger giant and probably is not as amoral as we had first supposed it to be. Amoral means without agenda. I'm suggesting that most likely and probably, I'm suggesting to us to think about that it is not as amoral as we thought. See, things are like that. They're insidious. It's a word I've been using. Will's been hearing me use that word. You know, if you want to catch a wild horse, what you do is you start way out here. And he's in here somewhere. And he has no idea what's happening. That's what the word insidious means. Until it's already too late. Until you already have him in the chute, see? That's what... So I'm suggesting that there's at least some factors of that, and maybe more than even we think. And he says here that people are going to be lovers of their own selves. We'll talk about that later. Now turn with me over to chapter 5 of 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to take this out of the context, but probably not so much out of the context. Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica. He was talking about preachers. And he says, and we beseech you, brethren, First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them. It means, that word means, it means to recognize. There are certain people who would come in the door in the back that I would not recognize. I would not know who they were. And there are other people who come in the back door, I might recognize them, but I would even not just recognize them, I would know them because I knew their life. I know who they are. And he says here, recognize, or I beseech you, brethren, to recognize them which labor among you and are over in the Lord. He's talking about preachers. He's talking about Chris. He's talking about the young Snyder man. I'm forgetting your name. He's talking about preachers. And he's saying, you should know when Brother Chris stands up here and preaches on this pulpit, you should know something about Brother Chris. And, you know, if his life and what he's preaching and teaching are not the same thing, this is a problem. Yes, this is a problem. This is a problem if the preacher is behind his pulpit and his life and the things he's saying. Well, you know, in this great big world of voices that we're talking about, we'll keep unpacking this a little bit more tonight. See, now there's all kinds of preachers. Only about 15 years ago, you had to have a reason to be a preacher. And I'm using that as a concept, not just an ordained man. You had to have a company that is sponsoring you. You had to have credit. You had to have some reason to have a pulpit. That's my point. But now that's not true anymore. Anyone can have a pulpit. Anyone can have a pulpit. All you need to do is link to it. Yeah. All you have to do is link it. All you have to do is link it, and anyone has a pulpit. You know, in fact, you don't even have to say who you are. You don't even have to give your name. In fact, in the news world, we all know this by now. In the news world, again and again, speaking on the condition of being anonymous. See? So changes are happening. Only a number of years ago, there you had to have credibility to speak, to have a pulpit. And Paul says, know those who are preachers in your life. Yes, know those who are influencing your life. Know those who labor among you. You say, Edwin, you're taking it out of context. I'll leave you feel that way if you want to. But you see, all of these voices that are happening, these massive voices, they all have an influence. They're vying for your attention and my attention. Yes, they want to. And you know, as another illustration, there's two kinds of roads. The one kind of road is called free access road, and the other kind of road is limited access road. So on the way up the road here to the church here, I didn't come directly from home tonight, but if I did, there were probably, if I were on a free access highway, there were probably 1,000 places I could turn off or on, and people could turn on and crowd in the highway. Free access. And then there are limited access highways. There are the straight through roads. There are the turnpikes. They sometimes cost some money to travel in that kind, to have that kind of thing. But they're limited access roads, you see. So you can think about that a little bit, you know. But see, what the world we're living in now today has a massive amount of voices and noise. I often use the word exponential. It means something like this, if I were drawing on a graph. So you have something that's going on for a little while and it keeps like a snowball. You know what happens to a snowball? It keeps getting bigger and bigger, and about the last three turns it gets really big, right? It just gets great. Well, this is what's happening in our world. But I have another word, because I don't think we understand what exponential means. But here's a word that you will know exactly what it means. It's a pandemic. The pandemic. And if you go look at the dictionary, that's really what pandemic means. An explosion. Yeah, see? There's a pandemic of voices going on, and they all want something from you. Yes, they're all over the place. Now, let's just take our minds back just a little wee bit. About 200 years. Paul's teaching was 2,000 years ago, so let's just take one zero off and make it 200 years ago. That would be 1821. That would be the time of James Monroe, who was the president of the United States in those days. It was a time when Florida was being transferred from the country of Spain to become the property of the United States, and that territory became the state of Florida. And further to the west, there was the state of Texas. So Texas had been part of Mexico, and so this was the time here, about 200 years ago. All I'm saying about this is that, but what I'm saying is that the amount of influences that was in a home did not look like this at all. No. It would have been the father probably took his horse and carriage and went down to the grocery store and picked up groceries for his wife, and then went on over to the feed mill and got a couple bags of corn for the chickens and get up some groceries and stop at the dry goods store. Maybe this happened once a week, maybe it happened, and then he would go home. And when he was there, they would talk about the president, and they would talk about what's happening in the politics. They would talk about what's happening in the local world. They would talk about if it was raining or not raining and so forth and so on, and then he would go home. So they had that influence in their lives. And then if you lived in Pennsylvania, there was probably a local preacher in your congregation. But if you lived in Texas or in the Wild West, probably maybe a circuit riding preacher would come around twice a year to maybe marry everyone that needs one to get married and baptize everyone that wanted to be baptized. I mean, you ladies would like that, wouldn't you? Wait until the circuit preacher came around and to marry you. Well, that influence came along, you know. And then you had the local one-room school where all the youngsters went to school, and that was probably a combination of Anabaptist children, maybe Protestant or non-Anabaptist children of another faith or religion, and then some non-religious people, and they all were together day after day, and they had this little one-room schoolhouse. And then it was a hot summer evening, and so all the neighbor boys around would get together and go down to the farm pond and jump in after dark for a few moments and swim a little bit. And you had that influence. And so what I'm picturing is that was about the size of the influence. And then mom and dad were home with the children, you know, mom more than dad probably. And that's about the size of the influence. I took all that time to tell you that's about what it was 200 years ago, but now it's more like this. It's a pandemic of voices. I have something for you fathers. 2 points, one on this and one on another. One of the things that we need to be teaching our young lads, and one of the things we have to do ourselves, is we now live in a world that we cannot go from town to town and come back hardly in a day. We can't hardly pick up a magazine. You can't hardly look at anything on your phone today without at least some moral corruption and influence going on. Here's the point. We need to be teaching our young sons how to bounce their eyes off. You can't live in this world anymore free from it, but what you can learn to do is bounce your eyes off of it. Here's the point for tonight. We need to be teaching ourselves and exercising ourselves how to bounce off of links, because it's just right here. All you need to do is, you know, Will sends me a link. You know, Myron sends me a link. And then there are 1,000 other links. And you go to this YouTube, and you go to that one, and it just leads you on and on. There's a pandemic of voices, and all you need to do is link it. And we need to learn how to bounce off of links. It's pretty simple. You gotta choose to do it. Because if you don't choose to do it, guess what? You'll get like my son. Or like he could have gotten really hurt, you know. We have to learn how to do that. And then there's another thing we need to have. And I care about the young people. When I was growing up in my youth and for a long time, I would hear preachers saying, they'd talk about convictions. I really never knew what they were, but they would say that's something you might die for. And these kind of statements. And I'm not even criticizing it or disagreeing that. But if I were a young person, I would want something more than that. And I want something more in my own life than that. This is what I believe a conviction is. A conviction is nothing more but nothing less. Please listen. Nothing more but nothing less than a strong belief that makes you do something. See, you can have a conviction, do a thousand things, but a Christian needs to have a conviction that's going to make him do something. A strong belief to make us do something. See? And in this pandemic of voices, and you see, I am convinced that more decrees aren't going to help us. Here's why. And I'm not against decrees. It's another subject. Please don't tell anybody that Edwin came to your church and criticized decrees. I'm just going to talk about the nature of law. Here's the nature of law. And why I do not believe that another decree to help us is going to help us with this pandemic of voices. It's going to take more than that. Here's the nature of law, okay? If this line... In case there's a problem, so you make a law. What you did, you made a loophole. Make another law. You made another loophole. Make another law. Make another loophole. Make another law. Make another loophole. Make another law. Another loophole. Probably out here you made two. So okay, so you make another law. What you did was made another loophole. Another loophole. Okay, another law. Another law. Another loophole. Another law. Another loophole. Another law, another loophole, another law, another loophole. After a while, this is a problem. Before very long, this is a serious problem. And the biggest problem is, it didn't fix anything. It didn't fix anything. See, it's going to take more than that to fix this problem or this danger of many, 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 many voices. And every one of these voices is looking. I'm going to say something. It's going to startle you, but I'm going to say it anyway because I believe it. Love me whether you agree or disagree, please. We have now accepted public radio and public television by this little thing right here. And you know, I think that we would be a little bit safer if we just admitted it. Please don't go from here and say that the preacher came and said either that would be the answer if we just flushed it down the commode. Because if I really thought that cutting it off was the answer, I would do it. That's the kind of conviction I have about it. But it is the world we live in, and so I don't think that flushing it is going to fix the problem either. And as I look around in the churches who have decided that that is the answer, I conclude they're not doing that much better than maybe, you know, the dangers we're facing. So I conclude that we need personal conviction, and we're going to choose. And Chris and Brother Snyder cannot do it for you. End of argument. Chris and Brother Snyder, what's your first name?
Tristan.
Tristan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, these young guys are growing up. There's a pandemic of them growing up, and that's good. Tristan and Chris and Steve can't do it. Now, it's always been that way. But this rise, we know it now in a new way. And there's a different atmosphere happening. I have to keep moving right along here. See, there are voices. Entertainment, scientific, political, psychology, organic, advertising, food, social media, music, on and on and on. There are voices and many, many, many voices. We could stay in here all evening. It's a massive myriad amount of voices that are out here in the world. And then beside that, there are the voices of church friends, family friends, neighbor friends, Facebook friends, Google friends, Twitter friends, Snapchat, WhatsApp, Signal. You put it in there, one after another, after another, after another. There are many voices. Many voices. And then there are doctrinal voices, you know. How to baptize and how not to baptize, forward and backward, up and down. And there's eschatology, and there are relationship voices, and there are cultural voices, and the list goes on and on and on. Many voices. It's a pandemic. Now, we only have about 10 minutes left. And I'd like to talk a little bit about some of that. I'd like to narrow it down into two things. The one, and I know this is just sort of focus, but it's the new world of podcasting. I'm not here to say that podcasting is wrong. I am here to say that the world of podcasting is growing, and the rich men, the money men, the men that are behind it, they know. I have three pages here. I'm not going to read it. Don't worry about it. I have three pages of information about from some of these guys. They know it. It was only a few years ago we were talking about how that video and movies and the eye and the visual increased it. And that's still true. I'm not taking that away. I'm just saying these men know. And there's a few reasons. Here's one of the reasons. Now you can multitask. Now, I know that Tristan is taken to be a pretty brilliant kind of a mind. So he probably can, or thinks he can, or probably can multitask better than I can. That's fine. But all multitasking is really doing two or three things and the ability, Tristan, to jump back and forth between them. Right? You probably agree with me on that. Yeah, it's... You can, so now, okay, I'll illustrate this. See these things right here? You might need them if you're 60. Okay, these things are wonderful. They are tremendous. My wife used to say to me, she would have to say it three times and get a little bit louder, but now she doesn't. You know, now she says, are you listening to music? Because see, these things are smart. They are so smart that if I walked off there and fell, and she's at home as far as I know, it would send her an email and tell her I fell. And these things are Bluetooth compatible, 100%. So I could be listening to Rush Limbaugh while I'm preaching here, and you wouldn't know it. Now, I said that over to Attar and Clyde Martin to sit down there in front of me. He said, I think we would. That's another point. That's another point. But see, now we can do many things at the same time. Now, there are some things you can do at the same time and multitask, and maybe it doesn't make any difference if you have a monotonous job or whatever. But then, you know, an employer 10 years ago, he wouldn't have left me. He wouldn't have took that chance. I don't know how he'd have locked down my phone or whatever, but he wouldn't have allowed me to be doing a tedious kind of work and listening to something that might take my attention at the same time. He wouldn't allow it. But now he can. All I'm saying about it, what I am saying is about, we have these capabilities added to all of this now, so now we can do these things, see? Yeah. And see, let me circle back. Is Dave Ramsey preaching in this congregation? Is Sean Hannity preaching in this congregation? You put the name in there. Does he have a pulpit? We came through some pretty tough times, and it's not all wrong that God's people hope for a religious, political safety. That's not all wrong. But I'll tell you what, we got wrapped up in it pretty deep. We really wanted Mr. Trump to win. Yeah. Just admit it. See, when we admit something, it helps us. It doesn't fix the problem, but it helps us. See, so I'm saying we have all these things. Okay, I'll give you another example. I was preaching over at Calvary. I was a prophetic message. And I was speaking about the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And I said something about the Wailing Wall. And that's not the point. But after church, a young man came to me. And he said, you said something this morning. And I don't know if it was right or not. I said, well, he was listening to this guy this week. He said, I have podcasting capabilities. And I said, I was listening to this guy this week, and he was talking about that same thing that you were talking about, and he said something a little bit different. I said, who was he? I don't know. Paul said, no, there's a laborer among you, and I know I'm over in the ditch. I'm going over in the ditch so that I can make the point. See? So now we have all these voices. You can listen to any audio book. You can listen to anything that you want to. All you need to do is link it, and you can listen to it. And you have no idea who that man's like. You have no idea who that man is. He might be an atheist. But he might be saying some nice scientific things. It's kind of... And then... I don't know what to do with this, but I hear some of our young men, and we need young men, so I don't want to be critical, but I do hear some of our young men. I heard this at the minister's meeting. Some young men, preachers, were talking. Of course, they were preachers, and they were saying, it's no different having the books in your library that you wouldn't let your children listen to. Well, there's some truth to that, but I know you're not going to be reading a book while you're out here on the highway, or at least you hope DOT doesn't stop you. But you can be doing this, see? So I know it's some of the same, but then beyond that, they said, well, I was talking to this one young conversation, and this 16-year-old boy was there, and his father said, well, I agree that it's probably not the same. Probably not safe for him to listen to some things I listen to. If I was a young man, that'd probably make me rebellious. Does that make any sense? Maybe we are safer, but what if we aren't? And that whole concept, as fathers, we need to be thinking really, really serious about. So Chris says, I can listen to this podcast and sort it out, but I don't know. Some other young man can't. I know there's some truth to that, so I'll just kind of leave that. But let's be really, really careful with that, in that conversation, it was interesting because this young man said, well, it's not the same as a radio. Here's the definition, and I got this from Google. Simply put, a podcast is a program just like talk radio, but you get to subscribe to it on your smartphone and listen to it whenever you want to. In other words, you don't have to be there when the talk show's going on. It's like you can put the TV now, you can capture Super Bowl and be over with your friends and then come back and watch Super Bowl later. Well, the same kind of thing's happening. I think I'll just stop there. But the question that we need to be asking in this many, many voices, who is this preacher? What's he preaching? What's he teaching? And when I use the word preacher, I'm using it in a very broad term. He might be selling some product or whatever it is. So I care about these things as you link. Be careful. And learn to have a strong belief that you will not link on every possible link. We need to learn how to bounce off of links and sort that out in life. And then, secondly, let's just take a few moments, there's this me voice. It's always been part of the world since Satan came. It's called pride, but it's this me thing. See, you have all kinds of things going on in today's world. So now I send a message to Chris, and I do it by WhatsApp, and then I expect him to answer. And if he doesn't answer, I wonder what I said wrong. See? And this is a little cat and mouse game going on. It's this one. Well, that's another whole subject that I'm doing some studying on humanism, what is. And one of the pillars of humanism is to relegate truth down to personal preferences. See? So suddenly I saw that. That's easy to see. This is not my personal preference, and this is my personal preference. But that's not a measure of truth. So we have this little cat and mouse going on in our social relationships. And I even find sometimes some young people who have lost their way emotionally or spiritually because of this tremendous peer pressure. You know, the truth is that if I send Myron a message and I thought it was worthy of being sent, and I sent it, and I shouldn't send it unless I mean it or want it, it really doesn't matter if he replies or if he doesn't. It's just this me thing in me. And this whole thing has ramped up the social dynamics in ways that I don't know if we are really aware of what it's doing to us. It even gets more serious than that. Tristan has something that he needs to talk to one of you about. Something he wants to encourage you or rebuke you or admonish you or whatever. Whatever it is. It's a hard phone call he has to make. So he gets on the phone here now, and Tristan just kind of hopes that he gets your voice message. You know why? Because that way he can just kind of calculate and... Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. He's not shaking his head yes, but I'm going to shake my head yes for him because I know what I'm talking about. So you kind of hope that you get his voice message so that you can kind of play this cat and mouse game. And then if you do call him back, you do the same thing. And then, you know, if you did it with WhatsApp or whatever other messaging app you use, you even have record on it. And if he does something wrong, you can go back and say, no, but that's not what you said. My point is this. That's just really leaving the foundations of good, sound relationships where I call Tristan or he calls me and say, Edmund, I had a serious problem with that message you spoke up there at my church. You shouldn't have done that. And I'd just really like to talk about you. And I'd like to talk to you about that. See what I'm saying? So all of these things, they seem to be relationships, but they're not relationships at all. You can send out 1,000 messages in a day and have not interacted with a person at all. I'm exaggerating to make my point. I agree. See, you can have 1,000 friends, and not one of them knows who you are. Yeah, this is what we're living in. And then yeah, this is my pet peeve, but you know, I don't want to have to sort and be distracted through all the socials, the status pictures about you grilling popcorn on your new grill, whatever you do. I don't care. It's distracting to me to try to have to sort through all that. You know what I'm saying? But we sort of have this thing, you know. I mean, it's fine. Send it to your grandpa or your dad. He probably cares about it. But, you know, I don't. And then, see, what else is happening? You see, what we're not thinking about is all of this stuff is going out to everyone on our contact list. And I'm telling you, I've done it. I've replied to emails already sometimes in a group or whatever. And I didn't want to send that to that guy. I didn't want him to get that. It's done taking wings. It's gone. See, and we kind of forget that. But maybe we don't either because, you know, it's pretty interesting to look at profile picture. Don't you think so? Christy, you think it is? What do you think about them? Well, we'll just leave that. I'm really digging in here pretty deep. You know, I want you to know I love you, but I care about these things because I don't know what all the end is going to be. And And you know, we kind of made a mistake. This is my personal belief. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I think we kind of made a personal mistake when we said, well, you use Facebook for business, but not for personal. I just kind of think that probably made at least 5 loopholes. If we don't think that it's going to help us in our relationships and its dangers, then we probably should just, and when I say Facebook, I don't mean Facebook, I mean Facebook. I mean the concept, I mean the package. Does that make any sense to us? And I just kind of think we made about 6 loopholes. Unless I have 4 points for you. I have 4 points. It won't take me long. Personal conviction is my only hope. Number 2, personal conviction is going to be our only hope. Number 3, limited access through my own personal conviction is going to be my only hope. Number 4, limited access through conviction is going to be our only hope. And then 1 point for the young people, because I care about your life. See, I'm old enough to have watched. Not everyone makes it. And I'm not talking about this, I might be. Not everyone makes it in their spiritual journey. You know why? Because somewhere back there, they started to make choices. Just like Ruth and Orpah. And one man goes this way. And Paul talks about one of his friends and they made shipwreck of their life. And what started out small, and the other one goes out this way, and he becomes a great man of God, and this man loses his soul. See? And it matters. Because this is just a drawing on the board. That's all this is. This is not eternal. It's just an illustration of eternal. See, so I'm pleading with our young folks. You can make it. I'm not here. I don't want to be here just cursing the darkness. I want to try to light a candle. Yeah, before us, right here. I just want to try to light a candle because I cursed the darkness some a little bit tonight. But you know, it matters what kind of choices we make because one on another, and don't get discouraged because you made one wrong choice. That's not my point either. But this is a pattern of life, and it's going to be that deep inward desire. And you know what? Some of you are going to have to stand alone while others lose their way. That's the world we live in, but you can. Yeah, you can. May God bless you.